All right, take your Bibles, if you will, with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. Oh, boy, I enjoyed last Sunday night, and it was good. Didn't the men do a great job? As we had, for those of you who may not have been with us last Sunday night, we had, I think, 11 men who were scheduled to give, they had a verse each, one verse each, and I had dealt with two or three verses prior to that. And then they listed those, and let's see, it was Brother Mills, Brother Don, Brother Earl, Brother Jesse, Brother Chris, Brother Ron, Brother Dennis, I believe was the last one, and then Brother Danny was about ready to jump up and go, but it got a little bit late, so we postponed verse 22 until tonight. Now, you remember, this is the chapter that goes into the unity. He talks about, you remember, let's see here, verse number what? Number four, there is one body, one spirit. Verse five, one Lord, one faith. And he goes into the unity of a church ministry, a unity of a family of God, so that no matter whether you're doing this in the church or that in the church, that because you're all doing it to the glory of God, there's a unity in it. You may not have even set out to be, okay, I'm going to be in unity with Brother Mills. And Sister Mary, I'm going to be in unity with Sister Mary. And with Brother John, I'm going to be in unity. No, you're doing it according to the Word of God. You're doing it for the right reason, at the right time, at the right place. And because you're doing that, the Lord just unifies it together. He just brings it together. And it's like a great orchestra where you'll have the trombones. And then you'll have the kettle drums, and you'll have the violins, and you'll have the flutes, and you'll have the various instruments. And when the conductor is leading them according to the same sheet of music, then it's completely different. Some are woodwinds, some are whatever, and yet they all blend, and the harmony is just phenomenal. And that's the way it is in a ministry. Whether you're working in children's church or VBS or teaching an adult Bible class, Sunday school class, or whether it's visitation, whatever it is, then it's working together. And what we have to do is be specialists, and we're going to see it tonight, Lord willing. Maybe not, maybe next time. But we're going to see from the passage that we're to be specialists in seeing where the devil's trying to nudge his nose in the door. And sometimes, lady, our dog, she doesn't think she's a dog, but she is. And if she's trying to get in and we're wanting her to stay out, you know, she'll take that big long nose of hers and she'll just get that nose in the door. And if she can just get the nose in the door, then she's convinced the rest of me's on its way. All right? Well, that's kind of how the devil does, doesn't he? He likes to get his nose in an attitude or his nose in a whatever it is. And we just have to recognize that old snout of his trying to get in and give us an opportunity to accept. That's what it is. Temptation is not ours. It comes special delivery unless we just walk into it and we know it's there and we want to sin. So we expose ourselves to temptation. But if we're not careful, he'll just nose it right in there. And we'll just see it like, oh, that's no big deal. And before long, we find ourselves right in the midst of temptation and succumbing to it. So we don't want to do that. So tonight, here's where we are. Let's look at verses 19, 20, and 21. I'm just going to read it. And then Brother Danny, where are you? Back in the sound room back there. All right. So he'll be the first one up. And then Brother Allen, are you ready tonight? Very good. All right. And then we have Brother Larry is over here. Good. All right. And so let's do it. Verse 19 says this. Let's go back to verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Okay. We're talking about difficult times here. Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. That's overt sensuality, lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, and usually uncleanness in the Bible means sexual sins. That's the idea there, okay? So lasciviousness has the same kind of idea in mind. Uncleanness with greediness. They long for it, okay? Verse 20, though, I was glad when we got to that. I felt like I needed a bath before I got to verse 20. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. passages earlier, I think he's referring to the unsaved. But he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. And then we come to verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So I'm looking forward to verse number 22. So Brother Danny, Brother Mintz, if you'll come and help us to understand what Paul's trying to... These are Christians just like we have here tonight. They may not have been wearing a tie or have driven a car, but they were just like us. So, brother, if you'll come and help us to understand that, please. I'll get this morning's notes out of here.
Okay. I told the pastor I'm not much of a public speaker. Usually when I'm up here, I'm singing. And that I would sing that verse, but I'm not really going to sing that verse. Verse number 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And I thought it was rather interesting that I got the verse with the old man. But you know what? I was an old man,
yes,
so to speak.
Right.
And then met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And became the new man.
Amen.
And I believe that's what they're talking about, what Paul's talking about here. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, in Romans 6, there's a verse similar to that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, what I see in verse 22 is we put off the old man when we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And I had seen, many of you probably seen the same thing. I saw a sign down at a local church that said, when you begin, you can't, keep going with the new chapter in your life if you keep reading that first chapter. So the new chapter in your life is whenever you accept Christ as your personal Savior, and it begins a new chapter, so
yes,
to speak.
Amen.
And so why even return to that first chapter in your life?
Amen.
Dwell on the new chapter and things forward from that. And if you should fail somewhere along the way, I like the fact that if we can walk with the Holy Spirit,
yes,
kind of like the your Wednesday night message that he had been given, and some of the examples that he had used, we walk with the Spirit.
Amen.
And then submit to God.
Amen.
And so, anyway, that's what we do if we drift, so to speak. Just walk with the Spirit, submit to God, and continue on with your new chapter.
Amen. Thank you. Well done, brother. Okay, Brother Allen. Yep. You ready? Sorry about that.
It's a long walk.
Yeah. Oh, we can't wait.
Yeah, right. Well, I think it's sort of funny that I'm stuck in between the old man and the new man. But in my verse, and it is number 23, and it reads, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind."
Hmm.
And so being stuck in between, I'm sort of the action for the new man.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And just thinking of the word renew is to make new or as if new again.
Yes.
And instantly I started thinking last week, you know, of someone in the Bible that portrays this. And I think the most popular one I could think of was Saul.
Hmm.
And he changed to Paul.
Amen.
And if we can just read in Acts 9, and I'm skipping around a few verses, in number 1 of Acts 9, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Number 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Verse 6 through 9 now. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And, you know, that particular time, Saul was on the Damascus Road, and as we see there, you know, the Lord spoke to him, and Paul instantly fell. Now, we all don't get this kind of experience when we're saved, but Saul did.
Yes.
And in Acts number 13, verse 9, it says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. So this conversion, you know, went as far as changing Paul's name, and Paul became, you know, he was Jewish, and he witnessed to the Gentiles, and he wrote at least 13 books in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And just this example of Paul's life is the way we should live, to be a new man, as Larry is going to be taken on in verse 24. And so, as Danny said, we drop the corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And in 24, we're going to be righteous in true holiness. And so with that, you know, the renewing of our minds is what we should be doing. We should drop cussing. We should drop all forms of evilness and just become this new man.
Amen. Amen. Well done. Well done, my brother. Amen, brother.
I told Kim I was going to act like the pastor and promise I'd get y'all out of here on time. So I promise we'll be out of here at 6:30.
That's ugly, brother. That's ugly. Y'all didn't have to laugh at that. True.
So in verse 24, I have a problem with eye contact. So if I don't look up, just forgive me. A little bit nervous. This verse 24 says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I love Ephesians because I've spent a lot of time studying the armor of God. And when I talk to some of the youngsters in FCA, I talk about the armor of God. And it talks about in verse 11 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And a few verses over, it talks about righteousness in verse 14. It says, I'll read the whole verse. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, when we're putting on the new man, it takes me over to Romans, okay? And I go to Romans chapter 3. In verse 21, and some Bibles are broken down, kind of gives you an idea of what's coming up next. And I mark in my Bible, I use colors, and red is what I use for the armor of God. So anything that refers to the righteousness and faith and all the pieces of armor, I color in red. And I had this already colored, so I was kind of excited tonight. And
Amen.
I really hope I get done by 6:30. But so it goes on when you're talking about the new man and you're putting off the old man. Here's what Romans says about righteousness in verse 21, chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God.
Wow.
Without the law is manifest, but witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God. Which is by faith of Jesus Christ upon all, or unto all, and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace.
Amen.
Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness.
Yes.
For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, and this is Paul now, and I'm not trying to take his place, but I'm going to declare this. To declare this, I say at this time, his righteousness.
Amen.
That he may be just.
Amen.
And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So he's saying about the new man that if we believe in Jesus, and the preacher talked about it this morning, about accepting the Virgin Mary, the her being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, being a virgin birth, and then him living his life and going to the cross for us.
Yes.
And being in the grave for 3 days, talking about the corruption, and 3 days later he was raised from the grave, and God accepted that sacrifice.
Amen. Yes.
His sacrifice for all of us. And you know, when we talk about together, you know, like I'm thinking about the lunch today, when we're talking about the new man. And I'll go back to 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God's the one that did it.
Yes.
Jesus Christ's blood.
That's right.
It's what he did on the cross for us. It's his righteousness. It's his holiness. And that is the new man.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ in you. And you have to take it on every day. Yeah. When I read through the armor of God, and he's talking about putting on the armor of God daily, you get up daily and you die to yourself. We've all heard this. We've all heard this. And when you can just remember that it's his righteousness is the reason that we're all going to be in heaven.
That is good. That's good.
And so I'm done. I beat 6:30. And so put on that new man. Alan talked about the mind. The battle's in the mind. You get up every day. You got a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You got a choice. You want to do the right thing. You want to do the wrong thing. You know, God doesn't take our free will from us.
That's right.
He allows us to do what we want. Adam and Eve.
Yes.
They got to do what they wanted. And boy, now every day I go to my ball field and I clean the grass out of the dirt, thanks to him.
Yeah.
And so just remember, Jesus, all that he done. I think about the movie, The Passion. And I always teach my FCA kids about the 39 stripes that he took from the cat of nine tails.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, look up cat of nine tails and see how vicious a tool that the Romans used, and just on his back. Okay? So it's his blood and yes, his righteousness is what allows us all to go to heaven together. Thank you.
Amen. Becky, I tell you what, honey. I am so glad God allowed us to come to a church where men, when they're given an opportunity to state the Word of God, last time, again tonight, none of these men got up and just said, well, that's a good verse, and it means a lot to me, and I hope it means a lot to you, and then they sit down. These are men that taught us. Amen? These were excellent, excellent. Let's just look at them real quickly. At verse number 22, just my 2 cents worth, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So he's talking about putting it off. Now, let me just look at it for a second. And again, you may not want to raise your hand. How many of you were saved as adults? How many have saved as adults? Okay. Let me ask you a question. And if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to. Is there anyone here who was saved as an adult that after you got saved, some of the habits that you had before, some of those habits still lingered? Some of those things still lingered. Anyone like that? Okay. Okay. That's what this verse is talking about. As we heard, notice what he says in verse 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, that is the truth in Jesus, that you put off. Now you'll notice we are, as Christians, are never commanded or even advised to put on the old man. You don't have to do that. In fact, after you're in Christ, you can't do that. You can't have the old man, but you can have the things of the old man that linger. It may be a drinking habit that maybe. Now, for some, when they get saved, the taste of that never leaves them. I've known of a preacher who hasn't drunk in years and years. He's saved as an adult. He didn't drink any kind of alcoholic beverage for years and years and years. But he would tell you to this day that the taste of that has never left him. That he has to deal with that on a regular basis. On a hot summer day, he will tell you there's nothing that would taste any better than a cold beverage that has the opportunity of influence to your mind, an alcoholic beverage. So the point is, just because he may have a taste for it and think about it, that would really taste good on a hot summer day. Go in and drink one of those that would just cool you in more ways than one, just do other things. But he says, I know it's not right. I'm not to be controlled by anything other than the Holy Spirit. And that would have enough opportunity to do that. So the point is, he says, put off. So if there's attitudes that are reminiscent of somebody that's not saved or whatever, as Brother Danny helped us to understand, that we're to do that. And then how do you do it? Verse number 23, and be renewed again. And Brother Allen was right. The word renewed there can literally mean new again. As a matter of fact, the prefix on it is ana, and it has the idea of again. To be translated just by the prefix means again, and then the root word is new. So literally, new again. So as you and I are growing in the Lord, it's a process, we call it sanctification, of growing daily in the Lord. And when we find something that is displeasing to the Lord in violation of the Word of God, oh, wait a minute, I can't believe I entertained that. It's not just temptation. My flesh latched onto it. My will did. Dear Father, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. 1 John 1:9. And why don't you say it with me? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to what? New again. And to cleanse us from how? How many or how much unrighteous? All. There you have it again. New again. He says this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on, there we go, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. These men all did a phenomenal job in helping us to realize we're not in heaven yet. We've got a job to do, and that is to love the Lord Jesus, but also to look into our lives through the prism of the Word of God, through the lens of the Word of God, look at it and say, all right, Lord, let it reflect on me. And if it's a bright light that's showing an attitude or an action or whatever, Oh, my, my, my. Now, I shouldn't tell you this, I guess. Maybe. Should I? What do you think? Should. Okay. When I want to be tempted, I want to be tempted. There's nothing wrong with my tempter button. Because the Bible says we're drawn away of our what? Own lust. That's in the possessive. I own that particular type of thing. And it may be something righteous. I'm jealous. I'm eager to be righteous in my life. That is my passion. That is my lust. Lust is epithumia, passion, translated passion. But also I'm drawn away of my own passion and enticed. So the devil has a harder way of getting through to us when my passion is Christ-like. But I can also have a passion for other things that in and of itself, that may not be wrong. Okay? There's nothing wrong with water skiing. If I can do it modestly and it's not on a in a place where I shouldn't be or on a day I shouldn't be, like on the Lord's Day, and I skip church because it's a beautiful day and the water is crystal clear. I mean, there's no waves in it, no current in it. I mean, it's like glass and you can slalom ski just, oh, it just is a perfect day. And we'll worship the Lord on the lake. This is nature afterwards that after, well, after any way that God made it. So if I have a passion for something, it may not be anything wrong with it unless it draws me away. But usually I'm not drawn away of things that I have an affront to. And that's where falling in love with the Lord. You remember what the Bible says, that I may what? Know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. The fellowship of His suffering doesn't say, I want to suffer like Jesus. Okay? I want to whip myself with the cat of nine tails or like the monks did with the asceticism where they would beat themselves and say, I'm being more holy because I'm suffering for Christ. It's not that. It's not that at all. It says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. We do that by studying how He suffered. So that when we're suffering in ways that are either identical or similar, that because of the way that we have studied He suffered, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who took upon Him, and you know the rest of the text, so that when I'm suffering in those areas, oh, I'm not going to put on the old man, okay, because I'm not an old man, as our brother said. But I can certainly take on some of those temptations if I'm not paying to the nose in the door. But if I put on Christ's likeness, as our brother said, that was created in righteousness and holiness. Oh my. The nose has a harder time getting in the door. Now I can still do it if we're not paying attention. But when my passion is to be like Jesus, and I studied how, as a husband, I studied how He loved the church so that I would know how to treat my wife. I would know how He dealt with betrayal. So that when someone wrongs me, the nose doesn't come in so easily because, wait a minute, I remember how Jesus dealt with that. When Jesus was hungry. When Jesus was lied about. Oh, so many things. As a matter of fact, he goes into that in the rest of the chapter. So let me just say this. Gentlemen, thank you. For those who did it last week, for those who did it again this week, and how it blessed my heart and helped me. Now, that was verses 22 through verse 24. Let's look at verse number 25. Wherefore, after all this, as Dr. Woodbridge would say years ago, when you see a wherefore, stop and see what it's there for. Well, we already did that. So here we go. Wherefore, putting away. All right, that's it. I don't need that attitude or whatever it is. Putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are not members one of another. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed. 31, let not bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you and with all malice. Oh, that's a whole boatload of things we got to pay attention to that we don't let the nose get in the door. Does everyone know what I mean by the nose in the door? Do you know what I'm talking about? Not really? Yes, when I say the nose in the door. How many don't have a clue as to what I'm talking about? How many of you are still taking your nap? Okay. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, okay. All right, good. I thought I lost you here. All right. So you got a whole bunch of those. And by the way, we're not going to look at them tonight. I'm going to look at the last little verse just long enough to say it because I want to prove that I can dismiss before the hour is finished. All right, some of you are going like this. They're checking to make sure it's still working. All right, Timex, are you on time? All right. He just gave a rapid machine gun, just a firing of put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off, put it off. These have no business in the church of God. These have no business in the heart of God. These have no business in the priorities God has. Would you agree with me? Amen or no?
Amen.
Okay. Those in the that are with the family, live stream family, you would agree as well. How do we do that? Oh. He gives a threefold cord that's not easily broken. Notice what he says, verse 32. If you'll be this way, you'll find. And if I'll be this way, it's a task for me. But if we'll be this way, putting away lying and deceitfulness and all manner of... It's a whole lot easier when I have a threefold cord that approaches temptation. And I can either have it hold me strong or I can kind of frazzle the end of it and go poof and knock it out of there. All right, let's look at it. Verse 32, and be kind one to another. Another term for it is easily entreated. Be kind. It has a different meaning, but yet in the same street, same address. Be kind one to another. Notice what he says after that. Tenderhearted. Don't be calloused over. Be tenderhearted. And then finally of the trio of the threefold cord, what does he say? Forgiving one another. Now, I would stop there and say, boy, I have a hard time doing that. I really do. I don't know that I really understand that because I don't want to. But the Holy Spirit put in this last for this Bray guy. He put a comparative study into it. He says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Notice the next phrase. Even as, there's the comparison. Okay, I better do a study on this then. How can I be tenderhearted? How can I be kind? How can I be forgiving? Even as God, for Christ's sake. The Father's looking down from heaven on Calvary. And he hears Jesus say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he's talking here to Christians. And he is saying, just remember what Christ did and how he went about it. And if you do that, you can be kind when you don't want to be. Not faking it. You're doing it through Christ. You can be tenderhearted when your heart's been somewhat hardened because I've had a tough row. I mean, I was taken advantage of. I was abused. I was whatever. And I'm just not gonna set myself out there to be walked on again. I mean, boy, that's, you want to just get close to people in the church and you're going to find out what's going to happen to you. By George, I'm not going to risk it. Tenderhearted. How can we be used of God if we're not vulnerable? Because we're going to keep people at an arm's length. And I think the coup de grace is the last one. Is forgiving one another. Sometimes that's not easily done. But it needs to be done. Amen? Don't wait for pride to leave you. Don't wait for the other one to come to you. If God's going to do anything through Calvary Baptist Church and through this little fellow, Randy Bray, if God's going to do something, it's going to take that lady right there, this gentleman here, that brother back there, and this lady over here and her husband. It's going to take each one of us being kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, not according to our expectations, but according to God's example, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we'll do that, you know what? We're not going to have as much problem putting off the old man. The things that I'm just having trouble getting rid of that. That's okay. That's all right. Because the devil knows he's had a nose in the door. He's had an easy go for a while. And now you're closing the door down. You're getting that nose and kind of pushing it back out and say, yes, I want to think about that. Yes, I want to drink that. Yes, I want to go there. Yes, I want to look at that. Sure, I do. It wouldn't be temptation if I didn't want to. Duh. But no, it's not right. And I want to do the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reasons, called virtue. Add to your faith virtue. I want to do that because it pleases God. And I want to be used of God some way every day. If the Holy Spirit touches your heart in any way about these that these men have taught tonight, and I've just given my 2 cents worth, then take it to the Lord and ask Him, is it biblical? And if it's biblical, take it to heart. Be kind, be tenderhearted, forgive one another. And then putting on, putting off. And the putting on part literally means to sink into. To sink into. When you're putting on a garment, you're not going, I got my britches on. Unless we got a little more of us than we had before, all right? But nonetheless, whatever it is. No, if it's a garment that's comfortable, you just kind of sink into it and it fits. It's just right. And when He's saying, put on that garment, that's what He has in mind. Still have 4 minutes. I was going to let you out a minute till. You do what?
I'll go again.
You go again. All right. Why don't you join us in standing and we'll just be dismissed in a word of prayer. It's been a good day, hasn't it? Brother Allen, thank you for that tonight. Brother Immense, Brother Danny, thank you for that tonight. Brother Larry, Lord bless you, brother. That was excellent. You know what really struck me, Brother Larry? Is twice you came to the word righteous or righteousness and you stopped. And it made my thinking stop right there. That's the righteousness of God. That's the beginning place for us to seek Him. Amen? And we can have that light. Oh, I wish I had time to go to Hebrews where it talks about the kind of light. It's a neat thing. We'll look at it one of these days. But it's not a reflective light. Christ is not a reflective light of God. May I have one more minute? Just one? I promise. 1 minute? 1 minute? I still have 3. 1 minute. All right. When it talks about in Hebrews chapter 1, I believe it's chapter 1, talks about Christ is the same light as of God. It's not the kind of light that's reflective like the moon with the sun. We know that. It's not even a light that comes from the same source. But rather the word, it's an interesting word, it has the idea of the effluence, the light that's coming from the source, which is God. It's even as one and the same. Isn't that neat? I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody except for my old brain. But when I talk about the light, John the Baptist said, I am not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of that light. And then it says, John 1:9, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So if that light that is of the Lord Jesus is not a reflection of God, it's not even just kind of coming from the same source and it's different, it's running parallel and it's almost the same. No, as a member of the Trinity, as He is God, it is one and the same light that He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I don't know if that's a blessing to anybody, but it reminds me of how much God loves this old fellow, Randy Bray, that He wants to enlighten me through His Word as His child, even as He does the unsaved. Well, we're going to finish a minute ahead of time. And so for me, that's nigh a Red Sea miracle. No amens or laughter on that. No, I'm teasing, of course. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Folks, I just want to tell you I love you. Becky loves you too, and Hannah does as well, all right? But I love you, folks. Let's love others to the Lord. Amen? Amen? And pray that I'll do the same. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for this night. Lord, these men have ministered to my heart, and I know to many others here tonight as well, and on the live stream, Lord. It's been a good night studying Your Word in Ephesians. And we're not too far from going to chapter 5. What a phenomenal chapter. But Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for these who've studied for our benefit. We love you. We love them. Please now dismiss us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. You're dismissed.